So we have finished our Lenten study. Last year, at this time of the year, I primarily looked at good examples in Scripture. But we can learn not just by good examples, we can also learn by bad examples. And sometimes I find I identify with both the exemplary examples in the Bible and the not-so-exemplary examples in the Bible. So first we're going to look at bad girls of the Bible. Liz Curtis Hicks wrote a very good book by that title, and she's written some other similar ones. Then we're going to have Mother's Day. And men, you're not going to be let off the hook either. So we're going to be looking at some bad boys.
What?
Yes. So, and we'll also have Father's Day. So I just want to give everyone a roadmap of where we're headed. And I believe it's not only important to know good theology, it's important also for us to talk about the way in which we should live. And if I point one finger at you, I'm pointing four at me. Well, three and a thumb, however you want to count it. A grandmother told an interesting story about the Easter Bunny. At the mall, my five-year-old grandson joined the other children in waiting in line to see the Easter Bunny. And he was waiting to sit on the Easter Bunny's lap. When it was his turn, Jake did not move. He just stared. "Don't you want to sit on the bunny's lap?" I asked. "No," he shouted. "There's a man in his mouth." That poor kid. Jezebel, a Phoenician princess, was married to Ahab, and the Bible said that Ahab was the worst king in all of Israel's history. Now, that includes the kings of Judah, which were the 10 southern tribes. That also includes the north in Israel. So that includes the 12 tribes, both Judah and Israel combined. And it was said he was the worst out of all of them. And Jezebel, she did not set a good example either. Her name means, "Where is the prince?" It is perhaps derived from Phoenician meaning Baal is the prince. She worshipped Baal, who was heralded as the bringer of rain and prosperity. And by the way, that's why God told Elijah it would not rain for 3 years, so that the people's rain and prosperity would be taken away, and once again God would show that he is God and the other gods are fakes. The worship of Baal went against the Ten Commandments and the most foundational Israelite statement of belief, which is called the Shema. The Shema is the central prayer of the Jewish prayer book and is often the first section of Scripture that a Jewish child learns. It is also part of the Ten Commandments. During its recitation in the synagogue, Orthodox Jews pronounce each word very carefully and cover their eyes with their right hand. It's one of only two prayers that are specifically commanded in the Torah. The other is grace after meals. It is the oldest fixed daily prayer in Judaism, reciting morning and night since ancient times. This is the beginning of it. The beginning is Shema Ya Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And that means, "Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." That God has always claimed to be the one true God. Jezebel is a name synonymous with evil. She's the epitome of the wicked woman. You notice, most of you probably don't have friends that are named Ahab or Jezebel. So infamous is her name that to this day no one names their baby daughter Jezebel. Or, for that, Judas either. To call a woman a Jezebel is a great insult. She was the daughter of Ethbaal. Isn't that interesting? Even Ethbaal's name contained Baal. A priest of the cruel, sensuous, false god Baal. Ethbaal, the priest king of Tyre, church and state together in an unholy alliance, who murdered his own brother to take over the throne, was hardly a good father figure. Why did we have Jezebel? Just look at what her dad was like. But Jezebel followed in her father's footsteps and was herself a power-hungry murderess who slaughtered priests and who also slaughtered prophet. She tried to kill every single prophet. She does have some positive qualities that could have been used to the glory of God. First, she was assertive. She did not act like her weak husband. Second, she possessed a sharp intellect. Third, she had strong leadership abilities. And fourth, she came from a royal lineage. She had all of these advantages. But someone who's gifted, who goes the way of the dark side, just makes that person more dangerous. However, she did not realize that the love of God triumphs over the schemes of men and women. Isaiah 3:14, the Lord enters into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. The Lord is the judge. During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid in South Africa, when the government tried to shut down opposition by canceling a political rally, Archbishop Desmond Tutu declared that he would hold a church service instead. St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa, was filled with worshipers. Outside the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered to see what would happen. And it was a show of force meant to intimidate them. As Tutu was preaching, they entered the cathedral armed and lined the walls. There were five pastors in Houston whose sermons were, they received a letter in the mail saying that they would have to hand over their sermons to the mayor. That happened in Houston, not in California, not in New York, but in Texas. But this is much worse. It's one thing for someone to demand my sermon, and I would freely give anyone my sermons, and then I'd preach again to them. But it's a little more intimidating. Imagine police officers lined up on both walls of this church. They took out notebooks and recorded his words. But Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached against the evils of apartheid, declaring it could not endure. At one extraordinary point, he addressed the police directly. "You are powerful. You are very powerful. But you are not gods, and I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So since you've already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side." With that, the congregation erupted in dance and song. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed, overcome by the archbishop's confidence that God and goodness would triumph. It would just be a matter of time. Jezebel had the wrong priorities. She relied on the power of the state. Desmond Tutu realized that power was ultimately not the most important priority. The most important priority is to pursue God and to pursue justice. In May 2001, journalist Giles Brandith interviewed Desmond Tutu. It was a powerful experience for the journalist. For Desmond Tutu was suffering from prostate cancer, and there was a real chance this might be the last interview he would ever give. What might Tutu want to talk about? Perhaps the amazing transformation of the politics of his country, where he had been a leading voice. No. Here's what he told the journalist. "If this is going to be my last interview, I am glad we're not going to talk about politics. Let us talk about prayer and adoration, about faith, hope, and forgiveness. For Tutu, these are the things that are the stuff of life." And Jezebel abused her position, and so did Ahab. The king of Israel at the time was Ahab, that weak, self-pitying man who abdicated his authority to his bride, the princess, in spite of God's laws forbidding idolatry and the worship of any god but the Lord. He married this princess who brought to Israel her hundreds of priests of lewd Baal worship, a cult that intended to destroy both men and women. Jezebel was so domineering that she soon became master over her weak husband. Neither husband nor wife should dominate a marriage. It's not good for either person to exalt themselves over the other, and no one is unworthy of love and respect. That as spouses or as family members or as friends, we should compare about the opinions of others. We should seek to build each other up. Whether we are a pastor, a board member, a church member, we shouldn't seek to dominate others. Jesus came to bring love, to bring hope, to bring peace. Jezebel's treatment of her husband and her position is like how many people treat customer support. When we were in seminary, Deanne worked tech support for a cell phone and internet company, and some of you may have heard this story. This was in the last days of dial-up internet, or really, 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 really slow internet, back when AOL was a company people knew about and Yahoo was doing well. One special customer was always calling to complain about her service. Usually the calls got transferred to Deanne because the guys did not want to deal with this lady. They wanted Deanne to have to deal with her. On this day, Deanne started by asking the lady to check for a dial tone on the line she used for the computer. The customer replied that she couldn't because her house phone was out and she was calling on her cell phone. Deanne calmly explained that the home phone was not working, then the line to the computer would be out. She promised to find out what was wrong. After contacting AT&T, it was discovered the phone service was out for the entire neighborhood because, in Deanne's words, an evil squirrel had written through the phone line. That squirrel had bitten and bitten and bit through the entire line. And the day that I knew that Deanne considered squirrels were evil, we were in Florida. And we had a hanging basket with a beautiful plant. And we looked outside. And there was a squirrel in the hanging basket swinging along merrily. The squirrel was so happy. And pieces of the plant were falling all over the place. So yes, Deanne knew that squirrels were evil. When Deanne called the lady back, she demanded to know what their internet provider was going to do about the problem. Deanne told her that company policy was to provide a credit for each day the service was interrupted. The customer then said, "No, what are you doing about the squirrels?" So Deanne asked the woman to clarify the request. The customer then stated she wanted Deanne to go kill the squirrel and provided a description of the alleged guilty squirrel. Some people are unreasonable and treat other people like dirt, like Jezebel. One woman, speaking of dating, said that she does not observe just how her date treats her. She observes how the date treats the staff at the restaurant. You can learn a lot by how people will treat retail staff, staff at restaurants, customer support. You learn a lot about a person when they're dealing with a stranger. You know, that date may be buttering her up, but at the same time, speaking sharply to staff. One time Deanne and I were at a restaurant. She was wearing black. And this lady thought that she worked for the restaurant. And she kept complaining to Deanne. And she kept getting more and more upset. And then finally she walked over to the manager and said, "That woman's not helping me." And the manager said, "That woman's a customer." Marriage should be a partnership. We should treat other people with respect. Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward. In our culture, we give a lot of attention to people who do extraordinary things. And on YouTube and on Facebook and other places around the internet, a lot of people get attention by doing crazy things that could get themselves killed. And there are youth now who like to copy that, who thinks, I'll just go out and I'll do the same things I see online. But isn't it interesting that God said that God looks favorably upon any time you give a cup of cold water? We don't have to do spectacular things. We don't have to ride on a car on the roof while it's going 70, pretending that we are surfing it. We don't have to go up to a mountain and jump off just because our friends think it would look cool. God is calling us in every aspect of our life, no matter how big or how small, to show justice, to show kindness, to show love, to do exactly what Jezebel and Ahab weren't doing. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That God is calling on us to show love. Not just to our friends, not just to our family, not just to people who like us, but God calls upon us to love our enemies, to love those who persecute us. One of her first acts was to order the extermination of the prophets of the Lord, 1 Kings 18:4-13, and to set up altars to Baal. So persuasive was her idolatrous influence in Israel that Jesus later used her name to refer to a woman who led a church into immorality and the worship of false gods. Revelation 2:20. Jesus remembered her. Jezebel's strongest enemy was the great prophet Elijah, who defied her and opposed her evil rule and also opposed Ahab. First, he pronounced the punishment of God upon Israel in the form of a drought, which lasted 3 years, James 5:17. This culminated in a contest on Mount Carmel between the powers of Israel's true God and the Baals. After the 850 priests of Baal, 850 of them, spent the day beseeching their gods with wailing and self-mutilation to end the drought, all to no avail. They were stabbing themselves and bleeding and praying to their god Baal, the god of fertility and rain, to send rain. And of course, 850 priests of Baal, one priest to God, that's not fair. God's on Elijah's side. Who cares how many priests are on the other side? And that's true in our day too. You and God makes a majority. If someone is doing something that clearly goes against Scripture, clearly goes against God, you do not have to follow in their footsteps. We do not have to just sit idly by. Elijah prayed to the omnipotent God, who responded by accepting the sacrifice. And he had them pour water over and over again on the wood, and to build a trench, dug that trench, and then pour water in there. So he wasn't doing any sleight of hand. He prayed to God, that went up into flames. And the false priests were slaughtered, and there was an abundance of rain. 1 Kings 18:16-46. And when I'm preaching about different people, you are more than welcome, please read the whole text for yourself. And if you have any questions or want to talk about it, But most of you know I like to talk. So please, instead of acknowledging the awesome power of the one true God, Jezebel was enraged and vowed to kill Elijah. 1 Kings 19, we read that earlier. Elijah fled from her wrath to the wilderness, also in 1 Kings 19. Instead of acknowledging the power of the one true God, Jezebel stubbornly refused Yahweh. And sometimes when it looks like evil is winning, remember, God has a plan. You can read it in Revelation. That evil will not always triumph. Even when it looks like someone is prospering who shouldn't be, the day of reckoning will come. Jezebel stubbornly abused Yahweh. You know, that's like someone moving to Texas and then not knowing how to behave. I found here the cowboy rules for the West. And Texas is part of the West, so if someone comes to Texas, they should listen to these rules. Number one, pull your pants up, you look like an idiot. If you're wearing your pants at your knees, you might want to consider how to dress. Number two, turn your head around. Your head is not crooked. Number three, let's get this straight. It's called a gravel road. No matter how slow you drive, you're going to get dust on your Lexus. Deal with it. Number four, they are cattle. That's why they smell like cattle. They smell like money to us. Get over it. Don't like it? I-10 and I-20 go east and west. I-35 and I-45 go north and south. Pick one. So you have a $60,000 car. We're impressed. We have a $250,000 combine, and we only take it out 3 weeks a year. Every person in the Wild West waves. It's called being friendly. Try to understand the concept. If that cell phone rings while a bunch of geese, pheasants, ducks, or doves are coming in during a hunt, we will shoot it out of your hand. Is that right? That's right. Yeah, we eat trout, salmon, deer, and elk. You really want sushi and caviar? We have that over at the bait shop. The opener refers to the first day of deer season. It's a religious holiday held on the closest Saturday to the 1st of November. We open doors for women. That's applied to all women regardless of age. No, there ain't no vegetarian special on the menu. Order steak, or you can order a chef's salad and take off the 2 pounds of meat. When we fill out a table, there are three main dishes: meats, vegetables, and breads. We use three spices: salt, pepper, and ketchup, and of course salsa, I have to add that. Oh yeah, we don't care what you folks in Cincinnati call chili. Real chili is not like that stuff in Cincinnati. You bring Coke into my house, it better be brown, wet, and served over ice. You bring Mary Jane in my house, she better know how to shoot and drive a truck. College and high school football is more important than the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Lakers, and the Knicks all combined, and a dang sight more fun to watch. Yeah, we have golf courses, but don't hit the water hazards, it spooks the fish. Turn down that blasted car stereo. That thumpity thump ain't music anyways. You don't want to hear it any more than we want to see your boxers. Refer back to number one. So Jezebel should have read the rules. She should have lived a righteous life. But there was a reckoning. You will read later that King Ahab allied with nations that God told him not to ally with. He did not kill who God told him to kill. He did not worship who God told him to worship. And Ahab was killed. And Jezebel was thrown down by her own servant and died. Now, for much of their lives, they were at the pinnacle of power. They were the most powerful people in the region. They were friends with the Egyptians. They had friends with the Syrians. They were influential. But Johnny Cash has a song. It says, God's going to cut you down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler. Tell the gambler. The backbiter. Tell him that God's going to cut him down. Tell him that God is going to cut him down. And today, may we leave here walking in the righteous way of the Lord.